Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds. Nailed it like a couple of fucking professionals.
Yeah, couple of pros. That's what we are.
We're like Stallone and Banderas and assassins.
That's exactly what we're like.
That's exactly what we're like all of the time.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, pros. Everyone and all.
We're professionals.
Oh, so professional.
My name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Dr. Frankenstein's Wax Museum of the Hungry Dead? Is that what it's called?
It's called Frankenstein's Hungry Dead on Amazon.
Okay.
I don't want to die!
Frankenstein. He defiled the dead to create a profane new life.
He's alive! Holy shit! He's alive!
The kinkiest, freakiest Frankenstein to hit the screen yet.
Oh my God, it's Hitler!
What the fuck?
Piece by bloody piece, he built a nightmare. Dr. Frankenstein's Wax Museum of the Hungry Dead.
Guys, it's Thursday.
It is.
And you might have noticed this week. Oh, you wouldn't notice yet. You might have heard that this week we're not doing our regular podcasts. But we are doing our Patreon one. And on Thursday, we usually have a Patreon subscriber tell us a movie to watch.
Yeah. Instruct us to watch a film and then talk about it for 30 to 40 minutes. And we are powerless to resist them.
Yeah. They get off on it. It's fucking weird. They're real.
It's a whole thing. It's, I don't know.
I don't know, man. This week, we got Andrew McGuire. Who has given us this task of watching this movie from 2013. You've probably never heard of it.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say none of you have ever heard of this film.
It is an indie horror movie that takes place at a wax museum owned by Dr. Frankenstein's great-great-great-grandson.
Yep.
Tom, what did you think of this movie?
This movie had more charm than I expected, but it's still very bad.
Yes. Okay. We're on the same page. I found this movie surprisingly charming. It's a campy horror film. It's supposed to be one.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of time when that happens, when someone makes a campy horror film, they might lean into it too much, you know?
Yeah.
It's got very limited budget. The gore is as good as they can do. The location, they had access to a wax museum that was nice.
It's the Nightmare Gallery.
Okay.
It's like a known place, and you can see the marquee that clearly says Nightmare Gallery in a couple of scenes, even though it's supposed to be the Cushing Wax Museum.
Right. That's pretty funny.
We're going to talk about that a little bit. But they clearly had two locations. They had this Nightmare Gallery, and then they had like this parking garage, warehouse, loading dock type area.
Yeah. And briefly a high school or a classroom.
Right.
They make do with what they have. I got the feeling that the wax museum itself was smaller than they were letting on. That we were seeing a lot of multiple angles of the same location and so on.
It was like two or three rooms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's okay. So the plot of this, it's a breakfast club. They are a breakfast club. It's a group
of
teens in detention who are the same age as their teacher.
Yeah.
The teacher is a real weirdo. He commits some light hate crimes right away.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of
casual homophobia in this movie.
Yeah. In one moment of racism that I'm not even sure they were aware that was racism, but we'll get to that.
Oh, I must have missed that, but I'm excited for you to talk about it now.
Oh, okay. They use a phrase that I'm not comfortable saying, I don't think, but it's not, it's like old-timey racism. Anyway, so it, well, it starts with a guy going into the wax museum to vandalize it, and he gets dragged off. And then
first of many things I want to point out, this film is supposed to take place in the early 80s.
Is it? Oh, my God, it is. You're right.
Yeah. They show us his like missing poster, and it says he was born in the 60s and that he's like 17 or 18.
Right.
And then the first shot we see after that opening sequence is the main girl whose name I Christina or something, or Catherine. She's getting up and she's all 80s out listening to 80s music, and there's 80s band posters all over her wall.
Okay, yeah, that's a big swing for an indie film.
Big swing, because the first shot we see is this guy walking in to vandalize the wax museum, and he is wearing an EA Sports backpack.
Also, did not notice that.
The wax museum is full of characters from films that haven't been released yet.
Oh, God, you're right.
There's a giant Pennywise from the 1990 miniseries.
There's 100% a giant Pennywise. I saw that, too. Yeah. That's very funny, because, I mean, the only reason it needs to take place in the 80s is because of cell phones. That's it, right?
Yeah, I think maybe they were just going for that. Like, there's a couple of pretty clear Return of the Living Dead characters.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's fair.
The 80s punkers.
Yeah, the 80s punkers. Mm-hmm. The 80s punk music, which I believe is just... most of it was the lyrics were, whoa, and hey, 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 hey.
Yeah, they were...
That was pretty classic.
Right, and it's pretty clear, like, that song and then the song at the end. It's like, oh, this is like the director's band or, like, his friend's band.
Right, on like the cassette tape, it's Rectal Rot, which was pretty solid.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. So, there's a lot of dummies in there that are very wildly anachronistic.
Yeah. all right, so, yeah, it's a detention, it's a breakfast club. There's, like...
Yeah.
There's like it's a variation, but it's a group of misfits. There's like the mean girl.
There's the mean girl, the jock, the nerdy girl. The two gay guys. I'm not sure what category they fit in.
I don't think they. Yeah, I think it's just more. It's a variety, and
yeah,
then,
just like more characters.
The nerdy girl. I don't know why she's there, but whatever. She's there for being like, nerdy.
Yeah, she's there for, like, irritating the teacher, who looks like Tom Green.
Yes, he does. So the teacher just goes off on the class.
And the punk rock girl.
Right. The teacher goes off on the class. Mm-hmm. He calls the gay kids some words you shouldn't say.
There's a lot of them in this movie, yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's the 80s, I guess. But,
quote-unquote, yeah.
I mean, in terms of the fact that a teacher saying that to a student and then not anything happening, whatever. They're all misfits, but his punishment is you can, like, be with in detention for, like, weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Or come
go
to this
with
wax
me to
museum.
This wax museum.
Yeah. He never explains why.
He just says maybe some of his appreciation of art will rub off on you. I'm like, what on earth does that have to do with anything?
That's the thing is, if he was like a film teacher, mm-hmm. and when he goes off on them, he yells at them for things that have nothing to do with art.
No, it's stuff like not knowing history, which leads into one of two times that I legitimately laughed out loud in the film.
Okay, me too. I know the joke you're thinking of.
It's a solid setup. Like he says... you're sitting like he's talking to the mean girl and he says, you who are you, Ava Braun? And she like raises an eyebrow. He's like, oh my God, crack a fucking book. And then towards the end of the film, they see a picture of Dr. Frankenstein with Hitler.
Which is a great moment where he's just keeping a photo of him and Hitler, a signed photo of Hitler.
Yeah, it says like, Dr. F, keep up the good work, Adolf. And she's like, oh my gosh, it's a picture. And the mean girl sees it. And she says, oh my God, it's a picture of Dr. Frankenstein with, I guess, his brother.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a solid fucking callback.
It's a good callback, yeah.
Yeah, and then, I really enjoyed that.
The other one is a Hitler joke, too. It's when the... Sam, I think, the guy with the super long hair. I forget his name, Sam or Scott or something.
It's Sam, I believe.
He opens, they're trying to find a way out. He opens one door and there's a horde of zombies and he screams and shuts it. He's like, okay, we can't go through there. And then he looks at this other door. It's like, oh, we haven't tried this door yet. He opens it and steps inside and it's like mummified Hitler with his brain being kept alive in a jar on top of his head. And he shrieks at it. He's like, oh my God, it's Hitler. And then he runs out of that room and shuts the door and just says to the nerdy girl on the other side, we can't go out that way either. Like in a completely calm tone of voice.
Just like, there's a Hitler in there. We can't go through.
It's just like, we can't go out that way either.
Yeah, that
two solid Hitler laugh. Jokes. Yeah,
it's not every day you get a good Hitler joke. And those were some solid fucking Hitler jokes.
Right.
Just the way he reacts to Hitler.
Yeah.
It's like a Scooby-Doo, like, ghost!
It's very Scooby-Doo, and then the next instant, he's completely normal. It just says, we can't go that way either.
Yeah, it's solid. So they go to this wax museum, and they're touring it, and there's the tour guide.
Who is doing his best, Dr. Strangelove.
Yes. Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm.
He's actually not bad in a movie full of, he's kind of killing it in this. Yeah, in a movie full of terrible actors, he's kind of not bad.
Yeah, he's great. Again, this movie had so much heart.
It did. It felt like watching it, like I recognize, like, this movie is pretty bad, but like, man, this, like, it reminded me of when I was making movies with my friends in high school. I was like, man, if we could have made a film like this, we would have been so proud of ourselves.
Yeah, it also has a lot of the same spirit of like a Friday the 13th. It just doesn't have the budget.
No,
and it doesn't have the same people behind it. It's just like the first thing that I notice is there's the mean girl who's dressed like Freddy Krueger for a lot of this.
She's weirdly wearing pajama bottoms for some reason.
Yeah.
She's wearing pajama bottoms and high-heeled pumps.
Yeah, and again, details like that. It's like, what the fuck?
What is this?
what's going on here? But it doesn't feel, it's not, again, it's a campiness that is, you know, when they were making it, they knew it was funny. They knew it was low budget and funny. But they also added details that seem like... like not winky, like they genuine in
like
a funny
what?
Way. Well, it's not anything big. The fact that she then is horny for wax museums,
right,
is and such a weird thing to put in here. And again, they sort of mentioned like, oh, what other fetishes do you have?
Yeah.
But then everybody gets horny for wax museums.
Yeah.
Which I guess I can see it. Yeah, when they're on the tour, the woman goes to her jock boyfriend, and she's like, we should break in here and fuck.
Mm-hmm.
She uses phrases like, I've always wanted to do this.
Yeah.
So she wants to do it since she was a little kid. And it was just like, do what? Break, all right. Break into a place? Is that it? The crime? Is it the wax figures? Is it the wax? What
element here is setting you off? She says the same thing about the casket. She's like, I've always wanted to since I was a little kid. It's like, fucking what?
Yeah. It's like, okay, huh.
Yeah.
It's very weird. And then the get into the weird racism. She refers to her as boyfriend. He says something dumb and she says, oh, don't be such a... And then she uses a phrase that was used during Vietnam.
I missed that. I'm not going to ask you to repeat it, but I totally missed that. I can't even think of what it was.
A derogatory term for anyone of Asian descent.
Sure. I mean, I can infer probably what it was, but I missed that entirely.
Well, I think most people did. I don't think the movie meant her to call him a Asian racist phrase. I don't like that. So she's homophobic throughout.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But it's one of those things where it's like, it doesn't fit in the context. She definitely has like a foul mouth throughout. I mean, maybe they did. Maybe they wanted it to be weird. But that's what I mean, where I was just like, I did a double take where I was like, I'm sorry. What did you just call him?
I'm going to have to go back and look at it because I don't remember what it was. But I feel like you're probably right because, yeah, she does say a bunch of homophobic stuff, but it's not like, it's like very on its face obvious. Like, and it's, she's the asshole. Like, she's the shitty character. So it's like, all right, she's just being an asshole. So that was it would feel weird for her to just like sneak another one in that's like has like another offensive term in that doesn't have anything to do with anyone that's actually on screen.
It's a real grandpa racist word, which is why I'm like, oh, maybe they didn't know. And it sounds like they use a lot of weird insults.
Yeah.
Creative insults. So it might have been a case of that. And that's part of what I mean is that it's like, it's clearly supposed to be cheesy, but it's not drawing too much attention to the fact that she says these insults that are like really weird.
Mm-hmm. They all say some weird shit. And that's this movie's biggest problem. It's too long. And even at 77 minutes, it's too long.
Okay, go on. But I have a retort to that.
My biggest complaint with this movie is it does have a lot of, it has fun scenes that have genuinely funny ideas in them, but they play them out way too long. Does that make sense?
There's some issues with the editing. For example, I noticed the part where the mean girl throws, I think the punk rock, she throws someone to the Frankenstein monster zombies.
No, opposite. Sam throws her to the zombies.
Oh, you're right. And she gets her tongue ripped out.
Yes.
And then they like close the door and he's like, no, we got to go. This is how we do it. And then they leave the room and then they run like 5 feet away and they watch it happen. And then they get chased. And it's stuff like that where it's like, it's not like shove her out and then run out while she's doing it.
Yeah.
And then just have more zombies chase them.
I don't know that that's an editing problem so much as that's a filmmaking problem.
Yeah, like, it's a pacing problem. It's like
that's a logic problem.
It's three separate events that, well, it's what it is, I mean, I guess not editing, but it's like, that's not a writing issue. That's like just have these things flow into each other a little more. And so it's very chunky in that sense. I would argue that, yeah, I get what you're saying where it's this version of it's too long. Yeah. But I think this premise with a bigger budget could actually be slightly longer.
Yeah. I mean, you'd get better writing, so it's like the characters would have more to do, and like I said, my main gripe is that there's a lot of bits in the film and most of them are genuinely funny ideas, but they all go on for too long.
Yeah.
There's so it's like, all right, like we need this to be tightened up.
Yeah. There's one that I was like, I thought went on as long as it needed to was when Dr. Frankenstein murders a lady and then cuts her heart open while singing Falling in Love Again.
Oh yeah.
I was pretty solid. Just tearing, he's just taking a bone saw to her ribcage and takes out her heart.
It actually made me wince listening to the sawing sounds.
The sounds. I was eating a snack and I had to stop.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah. Did they find autopsy sounds for this?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was really good. The movie fluctuates in terms of the quality stuff, which I think is related to budget and time. Because some of the gore, I was like, oh, that's great.
They spent what money they had, I think, on the right things because they wanted the gore to look good. And the gore looks pretty, you know, doesn't look amazing, but like it looks better than I expected. And there's more of it than I expected. I mean, the severed limbs notwithstanding.
Yeah.
the severed limbs look pretty bad.
The CGI or the After Effects blood was those moments. That was the moments that bothered me the most. Mm-hmm. Almost out of principle, but especially in indie films where it's like, This is what I would consider to be the biggest issue with this movie, the reason no one's heard of it, because I think the premise is great. The characters could definitely use a little work, but it really wouldn't matter if the gore was more over the top.
Yeah.
More detail. And again, what they could afford to do looked good. So I don't know. Maybe they could have stretched that budget out a little more. I don't know what the budget of this is, but
no idea. It looks very, very low.
Yeah. When the gore works, it was like that sequence. I was like, geez, this is effective.
Yeah.
But then there are other times where, like, the electric chair and the CGI eyeball, where it's like, bursting, oh, no.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you had, like, a dummy that, like, pulled a real Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, like, this, I felt like the spirit of this was very Reanimator, was very Dead Alive.
Oh, yeah, to the point where they have a head that's sitting in a pan.
Yes.
On a table. Exactly. I was like, oh, this is Reanimator.
Yeah, it's inspired by, I think, a lot of gory movies. They didn't quite have the budget.
No.
Like the head in the pan, it was like head in a pan on a very large table. On a very large table in the pan, and the head didn't move because they're just sticking the actor's head through.
Yeah, they did it in a much more complicated way. Not even complicated way in Reanimator. I think he's just lying down in a weird way in Reanimator, like at an angle.
Yeah, so you could do it like a magician's trick.
Right, so the table's not unnaturally huge.
Yeah, and you can do stuff like, with editing, do stuff like cut it in with a dummy head for getting picked up and brought around, or like a puppet, you know, for some certain shots. Like, that's what I mean, where it's like they probably didn't have the budget and the time at this location necessarily very long.
Mm-hmm. So, I will say that the one CG effect where he's holding up the teacher's head and they sort of painted over the bottom so it looked like the head was severed, that looked all right.
Yeah, that did look all right. It's more like a lot of the After Effects stuff. A lot of
the eye exploding and like the blood on, oh, I forget, somebody else gets after. Oh, the Colt. He gets some After Effect blood.
Yeah.
When he gets bit.
When he drills into the guy's head, that gets some After Effect blood.
Yeah, yep.
And it takes you out because it's just CGI blood is almost...
It never looks good.
It never looks good unless you're really paying attention. Unless you're fucking David Fincher making Zodiac.
Right.
These things often stand out. And with a horror movie premise where, like, you know, you want to... Where it's like a wax museum and it's a celebration of the older things.
Mm-hmm.
And in the timeline of this movie, movies that haven't even come out yet.
Yeah, no.
Then, like, I think going for more old-timey effects, you know, is preferred. I think this needed more of a level of, like, Frankenstein-esque, like, aesthetic. Like, more of the... the 20s science. I mean, it's still pretty good in terms, again, I'm giving them a lot of leeway for the budget because unlike,
it was definitely going more toward Reanimator than old Frankenstein.
Yeah. I think of unlike we just watched Last Heist, which is a movie that also had a struggling budget.
Yeah.
But the Last Heist didn't quite know what to do.
Yes.
This movie seems like it knows what needs to happen. Beat mm-hmm. by beat, and yeah. They clearly are enjoying themselves. And they're limited in a way. They don't mm-hmm. quite. They didn't quite know how to shoot certain things.
Yeah, they didn't sort of understand what was necessary in terms of what we in certain shots of like what we need to see and how action needs to happen. Which is, I mean, it's fine. These are clearly they're amateur filmmakers.
Yeah, I looked this director up, and this is one of his first films, and he went on to do more cheesy-ass movies.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he evolved since then, but this was like his second movie or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah, so we haven't even gotten to the... I mean, we haven't gotten too much into the plot. There's not that much plot.
We don't really need to. I mean,
the tour guide is, yeah, Frankenstein's descendant. Mm-hmm. And, well, I'm kind of curious about this. That's why I brought it up.
Sure.
So he's okay. Mm-hmm. First of all, I love that he's very good at owning a wax museum.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he needs
That's
to make
monsters.
That's just a
side business.
Yeah.
Like,
I like that he has a passion when he gives the tour for the other woman for where she, like, knows all the horror movie stuff. And so he's, like, actually happy that someone gives a shit about his tour. I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just making Frankenstein monsters. He has, like, 50 of them.
Yes, like, yeah, well, they're all zombies. It's like he's trying to make...
Yeah, that, I guess that's... What is he trying to do?
He's trying to make... he's trying to make, like, the perfect super being.
Okay. It just... It seemed like he had already done that, like, 50 times. Are they just supposed to be rejects?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a line or two of dialogue about that.
He's very fast. Like, oh, he makes some monsters in like 30 minutes. Like, he kills people in this movie and then just like turns them into monsters real quick.
Yeah, he's got the process down pretty good.
Yeah, for like the everyday reject monsters. And yeah, they're closer to zombies. They eat flesh. Mm-hmm. They run around. They have various abnormalities that aren't consistent.
Yeah, just random operation scars.
Yeah, which I liked the idea of a zombie apocalypse where they're all a bunch of Frankenstein monsters, mm-hmm. where it's just some dude churning them out.
Yeah. Just like giggling his ass off.
Yeah, that's a neat idea.
I made more.
But it all goes into the perfect creature, which is why I was confused, because I was like, what about this guy? He looks the same as the others.
Right. I don't get it. I don't know. It's whatever.
Yeah. I mean, basically, the guy at the beginning, he takes the body of the guy at the beginning.
Yep.
And he is working on him and reanimating him. And then in classic Frankenstein fashion, he makes the thing go alive,
mm-hmm.
with the final girl there.
Yeah.
And the Frankenstein monster, which is the boyfriend of her.
Yeah, it's the nerdy girl's boyfriend, her yeah. missing boyfriend.
Goes nuts and electrocutes Frankenstein.
Right, yeah. The monster immediately kills him, because that's what always happens.
Yeah, that's what you get. If you're Frankensteining around, mm-hmm. let that be a lesson.
You're gonna get Frankensteined.
Yeah, you're 100% going to get Frankensteined.
I don't know how else you thought this was going to end.
Your name is Frankenstein. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
You're already on thin ice, bro.
Uh-huh. God, can you imagine having the last name Frankenstein? Do you think the people between him and Dr. Frankenstein dabbled in this, or do you think they were like...
He explicitly says they do.
Oh, okay. So it's the family biz.
Yeah, he's just talking about, like, father after father failing experiments until me, and I'm going to get it right. Yeah.
So, like, I assume it's, like, son, one day, when you reanimate
all of this
me,
will be yours.
Yeah, this will be yours.
But at some point, you're going to start a wax museum dedicated to classic horror films.
Right.
You got to fund the research somehow.
And some films from the future. Sorry, I didn't even notice the Pennywise. Like, I noticed it in the movie, but I didn't mm-hmm. think about it. Because I completely forgot this took place in the 80s.
They Live?
Oh, yeah. They Live is there, too. Mm-hmm. Great wax museum.
There's
I want to go there.
There's the big guy. I forget his name. The Papa Jupiter or whatever. The main zombie from Land of the Dead.
Oh, really?
Which is a film from 2004.
Yeah, I got to go to a
Big
horror
Daddy,
convention.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. I got to ask him questions at a horror convention. He was very nice.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Sorry, that's unrelated.
Pretty great in Land of the Dead.
Yeah. Well, he was talking about... I asked him, and he laughed at me when I asked him, but then he gave a very good answer. I asked him what direction he got to be a zombie. Like, mm-hmm. how does Romero direct a zombie? I thought that was that's a good question. He laughed at me and he was like, it's not much to it. But then he answered and he said that what Romero did is he would put him in a scene and he'd point to a phone and he'd be like, you see this? And he'd point to like a clock and he'd be like, you see this? You don't know what those are, but you really want to know. And it was like, oh yeah. Like, he's curious. He's a curious zombie. He's trying to remember. Trying to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta watch Land of the Dead.
It's an underrated movie.
It is. I agree. I know we're deviating. You know what I didn't mind? I'm just gonna say it. Diary of the Dead. I didn't mind Romero's Diary of the Dead, his found footage one.
I didn't even see that one. Maybe I should.
Yeah. It's not great. It's a found footage late Romero zombie movie. But you know, it had something. It had something.
Yeah, it had Romero.
It specifically had Romero.
Yeah, that's the something that it had.
Yeah. Let me go through my notes. Hitler.
Yeah.
I'm glad they added Hitler.
Yeah, that was a funny bit. That call, I was like legitimately like in awe of that callback. I was like, that was really good.
This is what it was, is that you didn't think of anything of it because the joke was kind of finished.
It was sweaty too, like the Eva Braun thing.
Yes, but then the fact that they used Eva Braun and not Hitler or anything, they didn't repeat the same joke.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other part is. The way the joke works is the only reason they're using Hitler isn't because we've talked about this before, where like everybody has a Hitler sketch, everybody has a Hitler joke starting out in comedy. But in this case, the joke wasn't that it's Hitler. The joke was that it's one of the most recognizable people.
Yeah.
It's Abraham Lincoln. It's a big historical character.
Solid that Abe Lincoln joke gets me too.
There's an Abe Lincoln joke in this?
No. But I'm saying in general, a solid Abe Lincoln joke will slay me.
Yeah, I think Abe Lincoln is funnier than Hitler for sure.
No, he really is. Abe Lincoln's largely untapped at this point in terms of his comedy potential.
He's tall, he's serious, and he wears a funny hat. Like, come on. Come on, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's great.
He's great. He's a great, yeah. But so for that reason, it didn't seem like haha because it's Hitler. Mm-hmm. It was like haha because it's a historical monster that this high school girl doesn't know. Then they work Frankenstein as being like a Nazi scientist.
Yeah.
Which works in the character. So they're two separate entities. Like I didn't have the two in my mind. Mm-hmm. So that it genuinely surprised me when she saw the picture and said, "Oh, there's Dr. Frankenstein with a picture of his brother." It played into, because it wasn't like that wasn't sweaty, that was part of establishing the character.
Yes.
And then they set up literally Hitler in the back. Mm-hmm. With his brain out. Which you'd think the brain would be the one thing they wouldn't have of Hitler, right? Because that was like the first thing.
Right. But, no, I'm pretty sure he had brain evacuation, but I don't know.
Maybe this is positing a world where Hitler didn't shoot himself.
Maybe. Maybe it's like Bionic Commando.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it is.
Where you fight fucking Hitler at the end of it. You're like, what?
I don't know what he's doing with Hitler.
What
by
a
the
solid
way.
Nintendo game. I don't know. He's just sitting in a broom closet.
Yeah, he was like sort of awake. But he has the thing where he keeps a severed head for company. He keeps a severed head that's a real dickhead to him for company.
Yeah.
Which you'd think he'd be swapping through severed heads constantly until he found one that
better to hang out with, you know.
Yeah, because that guy really wasn't happy about being a severed head.
No, he was sort of wryly amused by it, morbidly amused by his situation,
and just waiting for sweet death.
Yeah,
which he gets.
Yeah, it does. Drilled into the head. Yeah,
the movie ends with the mean girl and the jock as severed heads, just doing a bit, which was a weird bit.
It was a bit that was a funny idea, but goes on for too long.
Yeah, like she. Well, okay. Yes, I agree with you. But also, I liked it. I found it funniest near the end when she's getting exasperated with what he's doing, because she's got her tongue ripped out,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing a bit on the table, and she's like, She's saying stuff in the... Okay, it's a confusing bit. She's saying stuff in those captions. And then is he reading the captions?
He is reading the captions, yes.
Okay. So it's a weird meta joke. And so as he's reading the captions, she's telling him to stop reading the captions.
Right, she gets more and more frustrated.
Yeah, and he's just reading the captions. I don't know. You're right that it went on. The jokes went on too long in general.
Yeah. That's what I was saying at the beginning is... All the bits kind of overstay their welcome, but most of them begin from a legitimately funny idea.
Yeah, and I think that some of them are funny in the middle here and there. Like, it's that. It's like they could have cut them down in a way.
Yeah, it needed tightening.
Yeah.
Because everything about this movie was the same, like the weird pacing stuff, the weird shot choices, the low budget and the bad After Effects blood. If all that was the same, but like the jokes were all like across the board fucking amazing, like that I would like this movie.
Yeah. The problem is that it would then be a 60-minute movie.
Right.
There was a struggle for time with this.
It would be like Cannibal the Musical, basically.
Yeah.
Because that's super low budget, but holy shit.
Yeah, Cannibal the Musical.
Amazing.
Cannibal the Musical is low budget, but man, the settings. They go places in that film.
Yeah, they walked out in the wilderness around Colorado.
Yeah. And they have like Western towns. They had a lot of extras.
That's true.
Yeah, I think that had more of a budget than we realized, but it was still, you know.
I know a lot of it was favors because it was made while Trey Parker and Matt Stone were in college. So
right.
Like, a lot
Didn't
of it is like
flunk college making it.
Yes.
Yeah. Jokes on them, I guess.
Jokes on me, I think. Jokes on us.
Yeah, jokes on us. Jokes on us.
Jokes on us.
That's always a great story because then they couldn't sell the movie and they like went everywhere to Universal and stuff and Troma was like, fuck, we'll buy it.
Yeah.
And then
they couldn't get it into Sundance. Like they got rejected from Sundance.
When South Park hit it big, I guess Troma got some offers and they're like, nope, we're holding on to this one.
Uh-huh.
You had your chance.
We're putting it out ourselves.
Yep.
And boy, did they.
They sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Frankenstein.
Sure, Frankenstein and the Hungry Dead.
Yeah, you have any final thoughts on this?
No, I mean, this is kind of a shorter episode, but like,
it's a super short movie.
Yeah,
here's the thing. The movie is, and this is why I was saying it could be longer, is because the one thing that they could have done without extending their budget is focus on the characters a little more. They throw us into the Wax Museum. And they throw us into the zombies. And so it's basically just everybody gets horny for wax. Mm-hmm. Everybody starts fucking in the same room, basically.
Sure,
like,
do.
Everybody pairs off and starts just going at it. Doing like the gay couple are using one of the wax statues.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are people horny for the wax statues? What is going on? I wanted like a reveal that he was like putting pheromones or something chemicals in the fucking wax.
Just pumping fuck dust through the vents.
Yeah. Good old fuck dust.
Good old fuck dust.
I think it's called cocaine.
Yeah.
I also wanted to see a dead body in one of the wax statues or the wax statues come to life. And that's what I'm getting at is like, they could have done more with the characters and they could have established them a little more before going to the Wax Museum. And if they had punched up the jokes more, it would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if they had a little more budget for the gore, because basically it's just people fuck and then zombies show up. And then the movie is just, let's run here. Let's run here. Let's run here. And a series of deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And the deaths are good.
That is all accurate.
Yeah. So it's there's not much to it, which is why there's not too much to discuss.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah, I would say that certain people should check this out. It's in a weird purgatory where it's not Birdemic.
No, it's not Birdemic.
Yeah,
that's
it's
for sure.
Not. It's not so bad. It's also not completely earnest. Birdemic is earnest, which is the biggest problem with Birdemic.
Yeah.
It is a person who thinks they're making a movie. This is like they know their limitations. They're being fun, and there's legitimately funny moments. So you can't watch it the way you watch Birdemic.
No.
So like, it's more of a Shark Night. It's but that's the other. It's not so over the. It's not.
I mean,
it's not Sharknado
too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's not like Sharknado. It's not. Look at how crazy and campy we're being. Even though they do seem self-aware, it's just like it's. They add enough weirdness in it, like the horny for wax stuff, where you're just like, the fuck? Like, if this was a movie from the 80s, genuinely, you would wonder, like, do they know what they're... Do they know this is weird?
Do they know that's weird?
Like, it's the Crispin Glover's dance. That's yeah. I think that's the epicenter of... yeah, what I'm talking about here. Is which movie was it?
That was Friday the 13th, Part 4.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Crispin Glover dance in that movie, it's a moment where you're like, I don't know if this is supposed to be funny. Did you hear that? Apparently, I heard recently that the song was supposed to be something specific.
It was like Back in Black or something.
Yeah.
It was something that does not at all match up with what he's doing.
I was about to say someone matched it up and they're like, nope, still doesn't work.
No, it's just madness.
Yeah, so this has, I think, genuine moments where it's Crispin Glover dance-esque, where you're like, I don't know if they know this is weird. But then there's clearly jokes in it, so they probably know it was weird.
I assume so.
Yeah, and random racial slurs.
Yeah, just to liven things up.
Yeah, I don't think they knew. I don't know. I don't know, man. So yeah, I guess check it out. You think people should watch this?
Yeah, maybe.
It's hard to find a time to sit down and watch this movie because
I was just gonna say it really doesn't demand your time. Like,
no. It's an hour and 20.
Yeah, a little less than.
A little less than.
It's not entirely worth that much, so it's tough to recommend. There's bright spots in it that reminded me of when I used to make movies with my friends. So there's clearly charm in here, and there was some joy in making it. It's just pretty bad overall.
Mm-hmm.
But not terrible.
No, yeah, that's it. It's got heart. It's got spunk.
It definitely has heart. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing where it's like, oh, I want to see this person with more time and budget, just to see what they could do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how old this person was. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the context of it. We're definitely it's on a curve here. Like, I'm judging it as like a very small budget film and what they're able to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know. For that reason, like, yeah, I liked it. If you like campy indie horror films and if that's your niche thing, then definitely watch it. If you like horror in general, it's not really scary. If you're wet for wax, then definitely watch it.
If you're dripping for wax.
Dripping for wax. If you like good,
glad all that happened.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, shit. Thanks for listening, you guys.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening.
As we mentioned, this is part of our Patreon.
It is.
This is a specific tier, and if you're interested in checking that sort of stuff out, you should go to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed, We have exclusive podcasts there, like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, and Fox Mulder is a Maniac.
Sure do.
That's a tier level. We have tier levels where you watch movies with us every Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And we have tier levels where you can produce your own damn podcast starring us.
Yeah.
Or you can make us watch a fucking movie.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
Whatever your little heart desires. And we're going to be adding some new tiers pretty soon, I think.
Hopefully. That's the plan.
That's the goal.
Yes.
We also got a store, tpublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed, where you can get t-shirts and stickers and some cool prints and shit like that. So
it's
check
true.
That out.
Check all that out.
You and, big so-and-so?
Yeah, you weird wax pervert.
Yeah, you weird wax hot sex junkie. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. You're all suspect.
Like you suspect.
You suspect. Is that a Good Will Hunting reference?
It is.
Okay.
Good Will Hunting could have benefited from some more wax figure fucking.
100%.
Wax museum sex play. That Good Will Hunting could have used a scene like that.
Let's get into it, America.
Mm-hmm.
Let's fuck some wax statues.
Yep. Just, you know, they're malleable.
What else are they good for?
Not much else, man. Standing around looking kind of like Johnny Depp, I guess.
Yeah, just waiting to be fucked.